Acts chapter 23, if you will, please. Acts chapter number 23. And we want to begin reading in verse number 23 to kind of catch us up as to where we were. And the title of the message today is At Rome's Expense. At Rome's Expense. When we get to heaven, I think we're going to find out that there's a lot of things that we were privy to, a lot of things that we were given, a lot of things that certainly we credited the Lord for, but we didn't stop in this lifetime to think about the fact that it was God who had arranged that so that governments even could underwrite some of the things that we are doing in such a way that it just couldn't happen any better. And we've seen that happen of late several times in our own lives, and we see an example of that here. And so as we begin reading in verse number 23, we're reminded that the Apostle Paul was put in protective custody, so to speak, and 40 men had taken a very serious vow that they were going to kill him. And they were serious enough about it that they said, "We're not going to eat or drink until we get the job done." And I've wondered with some humor, what happened to those men, those 40 men? Did they really starve to death, as their vow would indicate that they should have? Because Paul lived sometime after that. If they lived until after Paul died without eating or drinking, they were some mighty thin folk. Probably could have laid off about four of those pallbearers, and two men would have done just fine, because they lost a lot of weight between then and the time that Paul died. But I think, again, maybe we ought to be careful that we don't let our mouth get us into trouble. Murph, who just graduated to the Lord, he said, you need to be careful. You don't let your mouth write a check. Don't let your mouth write a check that your body can't cash. And, of course, he said that to a lot of different people, a lot of different times, in a lot of different circumstances. But that's what happened here. They wrote a check with their mouth that the body could not possibly cash. And they got themselves in a lot of trouble. And so as this news got out that these 40 men were going to kill Paul, his nephew, a young man, the Bible tells us, had heard this and went and told Paul. Paul, because of his influence, was able to call the chief captain, who came to him, paid attention to what he had to say. He had a good testimony with them, evidently, because they believed him. So he sent the boy with the chief captain, and he goes to see the chief captain. He sends him with one of the guards to the chief captain, goes to see him and tells him what's going on. And this man listens to this young man. And then verse number 22 says, "So the chief captain then let the young man depart and charged him, 'See, thou tell no man that thou hast showed these things to me.' And he called unto him two centurions, saying, 'Make ready 200 soldiers to go to Caesarea, and horsemen 70, and spearmen 200 at the third hour of the night, and provide them beasts that they may set Paul on and bring him safe unto Felix the governor.' And he wrote a letter after this manner, 'Claudius Lysias, unto the most excellent governor Felix, sendeth greeting. This man was taken of the Jews and should have been killed of them. Then came I with an army and rescued him, having understood that he was a Roman. And when I would have known the cause whereof they accused him, I brought him forth into their council, whom I perceived to be accused of questions of their law, but to have nothing laid to his charge worthy of death or of bonds. And when it was told me how that the Jews laid wait for the man, I sent straightway to thee, and gave commandment to his accusers also to say before thee what they had against him. Farewell. Then the soldiers, as it was commanded them, took Paul and brought him by night to Antipatris. On the morrow they left the horsemen to go with him and return to the castle, who, when they came to Caesarea and delivered the epistles of the apostles' wives. You knew that, didn't you? Not really. I just got to reading too fast there. Verse 30. who, when they came to Caesarea and delivered the epistle to the governor, presented Paul also before him. And when the governor had read the letter, he asked of what province he was. And when he understood that he was of Cilicia, "I will hear thee," he said, "when thine accusers are also come." And he commanded him to be kept in Herod's judgment hall. Well, we'll quit reading there. Father, thank you today that you love us, and thank you for the word. And pray, Lord, that we'd glean something from it that would be a great encouragement to us today. Lord, we know that you own the cattle on 1,000 hills. You own the wealth in every mine. Lord, the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Your word tells us that. David says of standing and looking at the skies, and when he saw the glory of those, he just was amazed at your power and your glory and your abilities. And Father, I pray today that we might maybe just touch into that just a little bit, and Lord, be encouraged that you're a God of the impossible. The things that are impossible to men are possible for you, and we pray, Lord, that you'd be glorified by our thinking, by our speaking, by our hearing, by our reaction. We'll praise you for it. Help those folk, Lord, today that could not be here because of illness or injury or incidents that's beyond their control. We ask you, Father, to help them and encourage them today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, beginning in verse number 23, we see the extent of the Lord's protection. And we notice that in verse number 24, he says, and provide them. And so we find here, actually, in verses 23, 24, and down through here, we see a list of the provisions that Rome made for the Apostle Paul to get the gospel to Felix and to the royalty in Rome and the royalty of the Roman army and so forth. And so the Bible talks to us much about the Lord's provision. In the book of Lamentations, the Bible says in chapter 3, verse number 22, "It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not." And we know that the Lord Jesus works and does a lot of the things that he does simply because he has compassion on people. Many times in the Gospels, you'll read that Jesus looked upon the crowd and he saw them with compassion. And because he had compassion, he did different things. And so we find the Lord's protection for the Apostle Paul was part of that. In Proverbs chapter 21, verse number 31, the Bible says, "The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord." And sometimes we get kind of wound up, and we get kind of patting ourselves on the back, that we kind of act like and think that we've maybe whipped a big one. And all the time it wasn't us at all. It was God working behind the scenes, God working on our behalf, and we need to understand that. Then I'd like for you to take your Bibles this morning, and we've made reference to this of late, but I think we did not look at it, and I want to for a little bit. In the book of 2 Kings chapter number 6, 2 Kings chapter number 6, I invite you there if you would please. And we want to begin reading in about verse number 13. And here we find the story of exciting stories of Elisha. And Elisha, of course, had twice the power that Elijah did. That's what he asked for. Elijah told him, he said, "If you see me when I go, I'll give you any request that you make." And he said that I might have a double portion of your power. And of course, Elijah performed 7 miracles, and Elisha now has to perform 14 to double that. And we know that he actually died before he did the 14th one. But then when a dead body was thrown into the well, the cistern, the hole in the ground, whatever it was, that where his bones were, it touched Elisha's body, and he sprung up out of there, and the 14th miracle took place. God is a God not to be reckoned with. Praise God for his love for us. Verse number 13, the Bible says, "And he said, go and spy," this is the king of Syria, says, "go and spy where he is, where Elisha is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots, and his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? Where's the way out of here? Which road do we take? How do we do this? What's going to happen? And he, Elisha, answered, Fear not, for they that are with us are more than they that are with them. Boy, you ought to underline that in your Bible. You ought to underline that in your mind and in your heart. They that be with us are more than they that be with them. Verse 17. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. You know, we sing a song sometimes, Open mine eyes, open my eyes that I might see glimpses of something thou hast for me. And we'll not take time to look that up today. But here we find that God performed two miracles in two different people's lives or two different groups of people's lives and accomplished two different things. One miracle was he opened the eyes of this young man and said, You need to see the things that I have around protecting you. You need to see what I have provided on your behalf. And then the second was that he caused blindness to come into the eyes of those people that had been against them and so that they couldn't see. And so we find that the miracle was two-phased one set of eyes were opened and another set of eyes were closed. Both of them were miracles. In our text in verse number 24, the Bible says, And they provided them beasts that they may, and provide them beasts that they may set Paul on and bring him safe unto Felix the governor. And so here we find the cost of getting the gospel to Rome now is going to be absolutely underwritten by Rome itself. The gospel of getting the word of God through Caesarea to end up in Rome. It's going to be underwritten by the Apostle Paul. Verses 25 and 26, the letter is written, and it's written again at the government's expense. And we need to understand that. We need to grab a hold of that. We need to understand that God is working. We mentioned this morning before services, I had mentioned to Brother Weaver that it's amazing how God takes care of things in advance. Before Isaac was ever laid on that altar, Abraham was willing to sacrifice him in obedience to the Lord. God had already fixed the ram, and he was caught by his horns in a thicket. Before Jonah was ever cast off of the boat, God had prepared a fish large enough to swallow the man. And we need to understand that no matter what kind of a problem we're going through, no matter what the situation in our life is, God has fixed a way. Does not 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 5 say, There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also, listen, make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. God has a plan. Before Adam and Eve ever sinned, God had a plan. The plan was that the Lord Jesus Christ was going to walk up Calvary's hill, lay down his life for you and I, shed all of his blood for you and I. God had a plan. And he has a plan for you today. He has a plan for us today. God doesn't work with maybes and what ifs. God knows what he's going to do, and God is always sure of what he's going to do. Now, he doesn't always tell us in advance what he's going to do. But he does whisper to our hearts, Trust me. Trust me. I have a plan. And if I could just open your eyes and let you see the plan, you'd be so shocked and so surprised, it would be so exciting to you, you wouldn't know how to handle it. God wants us to live by faith. And so he says, I have a plan. I want you to trust me. We had the privilege of knowing a family when we were in Austria. They lived in Germany, and he ministered and pastored in a military work. It was a great blessing to us. He actually became my children's grandpa and his wife, their grandma, when we were on the field, and such a blessing. And he had a man in his church that could do about anything in the world except give directions correctly. And if he said go left, you better go right nearly. And but his famous phrase was, trust me, Brother Minnick, trust me. Well, we've done that with men and we've been disappointed. But the Lord Jesus says, trust me. Trust me and see if what I say isn't true. Trust me and see if I don't know what I'm doing. Trust me and see if I can't underwrite any promise that I've ever made to you. Trust me and see. And so we find that the expenses are still being, in verses 27 down through verse number 30, they're still being paid by Rome. Rome is underwriting the bill. Rome is taking care of things. What do you suppose it costs to send 470 soldiers to take care of the Apostle Paul? Of course, the Bible says that there were 70 horsemen. What do you suppose it took to feed those horses? Now, if there were 70 horsemen, I assure you they had to have some animals carrying feed for those horses. They had to have people that were going to take care of those horses, unless the soldier himself was expected to do that, and that's probably not how it was. And so there's a tremendous cost in getting the Apostle Paul to Caesarea, and Rome is absorbing all of that cost. The Apostle Paul could have never afforded to go, especially in the fashion that he went. Man, with 470 people taking care of him, it's hard to imagine what the expense must have been. Listen, trot them through McDonald's, 470 men. Trot them past a bagel toaster and a jar of peanut butter and see how much it would cost. The hay bill alone for 70 horses would have been outlandish probably. And all these 270 people, Rome is taking care of it. Verse number 31, I see this. The Bible says, then the soldiers, as it was commanded them, took Paul and brought him by night unto Antipatris. Here we find that the soldiers were good soldiers in that they obeyed. Soldiers are supposed to obey. Soldiers are expected to obey. Soldiers are in defiance and out of line when they don't obey. And the Bible says to us in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Do you know when you got saved, you entered the army? The army of the Lord. I have people ask me every once in a while, were you ever in the military? I say, well, in the Lord's. Well, that doesn't count. I say, oh, but my, it does count. It does count. And we today are soldiers. We're either good soldiers or poor soldiers, obedient soldiers or disobedient soldiers. These Roman soldiers, the Bible says, then the soldiers, as it was commanded them, took Paul. Oh, if we could just learn something from that. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 4 says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. The Lord Jesus chose you to be a soldier if you're saved. We need to trust him and obey him. And then verses 32 and 33, we find that the mission is accomplished. When God underwrites something, it can get finished. It can get done. And could I say that it's like the Lord Jesus to finish things? You remember on the cross of Calvary, what were the last words that he said on the cross of Calvary? It is finished. And then we find in Hebrews chapter 12, the Bible says one of his titles, he is the author and the finisher of our faith. It's like the Lord Jesus to finish things. And so here we find the mission is accomplished. And then we find in verses 34, and we'll read these. Notice what the Bible says. And when the governor had read the letter, he asked of what province he, Paul, was. And when he understood that he was of Cilicia, I will answer thee, said he, when thine accusers are also come. And he commanded him to be kept in Herod's judgment hall. Here we find he's still being kept at Rome's expense. Oh, if we could just understand, we fret so much about material things, we fret so much about money and how we're going to do this and how we're going to do that. Listen, God's got it all taken care of if we'll just follow him, if we'll just do what he wants done the way he wants it done. Rome picked up the expense of getting the gospel to Caesarea and later on to the city of Rome itself, to Caesar himself, because he loves people. I wonder if we're doing our part to get the gospel on down the road. You know that raise that we got, that new car that we got, that new house we moved into, that new job we got. I wonder if that wasn't God putting us in a place where we could be used more readily, more accurately, more completely by Him for His glory. And then, of course, we could ask ourselves, what kind of a soldier am I? Don't you want to be a good soldier? We can never maybe be Sergeant York, some hero like that, but we can be a good soldier, just an everyday soldier. We can be faithful. We can be honest. We can be accurate with the Word of God. We can study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed. We can be what we're supposed to be and watch God take care of things. Father, I thank You today that You love us. Thank You for the privilege to be in this place with this people. We pray, Lord, for services today that You'd be glorified with all of them. Lord, again, we pray for those that are sick, Lord, those that are injured, those that need help, and ask You, Lord, just to take the needs of our hearts, Lord, those heart cries for those folk, and meet needs and help them, Lord, encourage them today. We love You today, Lord. Thank You for having loved us first. Help us to live like we love You, and we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you this morning. Get around and shake hands.